Canadian singer-songwriter Ron Sexsmith is my guest today. He has a new album on the Ironworks record label, which is owned by Kiefer Sutherland. The album's called Time Being. It's produced by the same guy Ron worked with on his debut album, Mitchell Froom. And I asked Ron about working with Froom again.
I just, you know, the way he makes records has always kind of made sense to me. You know, there's a lot of, you know, we always spend about a week doing pre-production, which is just kind of arranging and deciding what songs we want to do and everything. So when you go in the studio, you're not sitting around scratching your head. You know, there's a game plan. He's very methodical, and as a result, things kind of move along quite quickly. Mm. You know, we'll do like about one song a day. You know, and if we get it in the first few takes, we'll try another one or whatever. But it's not like, you know, you're out there till 3 a.m. and, you know, that kind of thing.
Does he push you in different ways to do different things? Because this is some real strong arrangement ideas on this new album.
I hope so. Yeah, I learned a lot from him, especially on the early records, because, you know, like the first one, I had so many songs because, you know, I was a courier writing songs for years before anyone noticed me. And it was, I really didn't know what kind of record I wanted to make. And he was the guy who said, well, I think you're good at doing this, not so good at doing that, you know, and he kind of helped me zero in on what my strengths were at the time. And, you know, he insisted I played my own instrument. Like, you know, I thought they'd bring it. A lot of producers would have brought in Joe Session guy to play the guitar, but he thought I had a nice style with that. And as a result, I got better. And so, I mean, I just learned a lot. And with this album, you know, he's very much, you know, and he's still the same. You know, he's like, you know, how attached to you are you to that bridge? You know, do you really? and but it's good, you know, because it's hard to self-edit sometimes because you're so close to it. But he doesn't doing it in a mean way or, you know, we don't fight or anything. It's just very kind of, he's got a, you know, gentle touch.
Well, you, things begin with Never Give Up, which, it seems like maybe a message to you at one point or what?
Kind of. It's funny about that song. My girlfriend Colleen and I were going to Mexico, and we were waiting for the taxi to pick us up to take us to the airport. And while we were waiting, I was sitting at my piano and I wrote the main melody of the song. And then the taxi showed up. So all the way there on the plane, I had to keep singing it to myself so I wouldn't forget it. You know, and it's just it's a song that I think the record needed, because up to the I wrote Never Give Up, it was all kind of dark songs, kind of about death, and so I wanted it to be a little more rounded, you know.
Well, this is Never Give Up. Let's go to the stage of World Cafe Live with Ron Sexsmith.
A foolish dreams, I'm done with these. A childish things, I've set them free. Filed them away in the past. Gave up on all that don't last, save for just one thing. There's something that I'd never do. Never give up on you. Though they try to break us in two. Ooh, never give up on you. Whatever I do. Come early spring, I bailed on that. From apron strings, I freed my hands and woke from the spell that was cast. I kicked that habit at last. Whoa, but I would stick by you wherever you lead me to. I'd never give up on you. The world may try to break us in two. Ooh, never give up on you. Darling, whatever. never give up on you, because I know you do the same now for me. Never give up on you, because you take me as I am, how I'll always be. When times are bad, when things go wrong, what makes you sad will make me strong. I'm keeping an eye on your tears, sweeping up all this broken mirror. Our luck may not come through, but that's something that I never do. I'd never give up on you, though they try to break us in two. Ooh, never give up on you, darling, whatever I do. I'll never give up on you.
Never Give Up, live on stage at World Cafe Live, and that's one of Ron Sexsmith's new album, which is just out here in the States. It's actually been out to most of the other English-speaking and otherwise world for a while.
Since but, about June, yeah.
Yeah, but it's out here now on Ironworks Records, which is a label we came to know through a bunch of other artists, which Jute Cole and
Kiefer.
What's his name? Right. Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, sorry.
Have. And it's interesting. How did they come in contact with you? Does it have anything to do with Kiefer being from Canada? Or?
It's possible. I didn't, you know, I met Kiefer recently, and I kind of was curious to know if he was familiar with my stuff, or, you know, I don't know if it was just this record or what, but, you know, my manager had been shopping the album around since December of, you know, the previous December, and we kept hitting these roadblocks. We'd have these labels that were interested, and some of them told us they weren't signing anyone over 25, and it was just it was kind of discouraging. And so I guess Kiefer got wind that of the album, and you know, because I'm always the last to know how those things happen, you know, and I'm just really glad they showed up when they did.
You know, you bring up something though. The 90s were kind of the decade of the singer-songwriter, and as we've moved beyond it, young people do not want to be called a singer-songwriter.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's kind of weird because many of them are, because that's what they do.
Yeah.
But it is not the fashion of the week anymore, is it?
No, and I've never really felt very fashionable. Even when I came out in 95, you know, I was the first songwriter that Interscope had. And you know, I don't know if you remember, but at that time, there weren't really anyone else, you know, there wasn't anyone else doing it.
Right.
I mean, not that I knew of anyway. I mean, I'm sure Elliott Smith was doing stuff, but I hadn't heard of him at that point. And, you know, all of a sudden, gradually, and everyone kept asking me, is this a new songwriter renaissance? And I always thought, well, if it was, that I didn't think I was invited to it or was a part of it, you know.
Right.
And right now, a lot of songwriters, they don't use their name. They'll call themselves, like last night I met Bright Eyes, for example, or
Connor Oberst.
Yeah. Connor, and he was really sweet. And but you know, sometimes I think, man, I wish I would have called myself, you know, Parking Lot or something like this, right? But I am old fashioned. I always liked, you know, the Dylan and Lightfoot and all those guys. They just used their name, and that was it. You know.
Well, the first single from this album is called "All in Good Time," and we'll get to a version of that one.
Yeah.
Well, it all seems so obvious now when I look back over my life. There were times that I really felt down to think it passed me by. Ooh. Well, hold your horse
sweet cry while the sun called to me. Oh my God, this is live radio, isn't it? I just sang the third verse instead of the second verse. Okay, this is what I meant to sing. But in these hours of a serious doubt, through the cold, black, lonely night, something told me it'll work out. Something deep inside was comforting me, all in good time, all in good time, it said, all in good time, the bad times will be gone. Well, hold your horse as a willow tree cried while the sun called to me, where's the fire? Run your course, my feverish child, hear my voice from even higher, inspiring me, all in good time, all in good time, it said, all in good time, the bad times will be gone. We rise and fall, we try and fail now, and people may judge us, but angels will know us, darling. All in good time. Well, it all seems so obvious now when I look back over my life. There's a need for sorrow and doubt, for darkness and for light. It's how it must be. All in good time, all in good time, it said, all in good time, the bad time will be gone. All in good time, oh, the bad time will be gone. Yes, they will. All in good time. Ooh, oh darling. Ooh, all in good time. Thank you very much.
That's All in Good Time, live on stage at World Cafe Live, and we're getting a chance to revisit these performances with Ron Sexsmith, and we're talking about that one. Where did that one come up in recording?
Again, that was one of the later songs I wrote for the album, and it was one that I was kind of sweating over because I was afraid I wouldn't finish it in time. And I felt the record needed it. It was kind of a bouncy song. And I had the chorus going around in my head for months without any other lyrics. And it just felt, it was just a song to remind myself, I guess, to be patient. Because, in the 80s, I remember I was so frustrated I couldn't get a deal. No one wouldn't even look at me. And then... Now I'm very grateful that I didn't make any albums in the 80s because I think they would have sounded really dated, So, and it's just a song to remind myself that, there's a reason for everything,
Right. Yeah. Well, one of the songs that I loved right off the bat from this album is called Jazz at the Bookstore.
And thank you.
I hope we got a version of that. This is about something that if you end up going to a Barnes and Noble's or Borders or then on the other end of it a coffee shop like a Starbucks or whatever, it's about the music you hear. When I first saw this, I thought it was maybe about playing in one of those coffee houses or one of those bookstores, because you've probably done some
I've
of that.
Done so many of them, yeah.
But it's about the music you hear, And was there a day a light went off with you about this?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it always kind of struck me. I mean, I go, I'm a coffeeholic, so I'm in those places all the time, and there's a convenience to, you know, the all-in-one kind of places, you know. But I mean, I there's a laundromat around the corner from my house and a Starbucks, and I'd gone in to get a coffee while I waited for my clothes to dry, and I was hearing, you know, this song. It was just kind of like the first verse. I was hearing this Lead Belly song, and you know, which gets, you know, interrupted by the grinder. Yeah. It just struck me odd that this music, that just the juxtaposition of this music and the environment, which is very essentially very white environment, and this music that was once seemed so, I mean, it still is so, you know, sensual and exciting, or, you know, at one point maybe even dangerous, you know, that it's been kind of stripped of that in a way, and almost made into some kind of wallpaper. And so I don't know, I was just trying to get all these different ideas into that song, and I pretty much had the whole lyric finished by the time I left the laundromat.
It is kind of double-edged too, because the other side of it is, if they're listening,
yeah,
a lot of people hear music they might not hear.
That's the thing, and I've bought many of those compilations, and I've been, you know, turned on. And that's the thing, but there's sometimes, you know, you hear something and you don't really look any further. You go, oh, that sounds nice, and you're back to your computer.
Right.
You know, and sometimes you think that music should be heard. You feel like it should be really, you know, people should be paying attention to it because it's so great, and you feel like you want to hear it in a dark room with people smoking cigarettes and
drinking
whatever.
Drinking whiskey.
And that, yeah.
Exactly. Well, did you have to learn any diminished chords for this?
Yeah, I know a few of those. A few diminished chords. Yeah, the first chord is a diminished chord actually on this record, on that song. Yeah.
So there you go. This is Jazz at the Bookstore.
Yeah.
Lead bellies in the background, being drowned out by the grind. You sing about Rock Island Line, nobody seemed to pay them any mind. Bestsellers and bookshelf help printed work, some faint elegance is a hurt. It was at Ellington or Burr. Has it really come to this? Can ignorance be bliss? I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Jazz at the bookstore and blues in the coffee shop. Jazz at the bookstore and blues in the coffee shop. There's a man standing at the crossroad with a dark roast in his hand. He's living in white yuppie land over by the milk and sugar stand. Or have I really come for this? This cup of caffeinated bliss. So we browse around all over town, sipping coffees that we can't pronounce. And meanwhile in the blue cemetery, all the coffins commence to bounce. Lead bellies in the cold ground, rolling over in his grave. The hard road where so many slaved is now so smooth and paved. Has it really come to this? Or can ignorance be bliss? I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. Jazz at the bookstore and blues in the coffee shop. Jazz at the bookstore, blues in the coffee shop. Jazz.
at the bookstore. Blues in the coffee shop.
Well, there's a song that says far more eloquently than even our conversation about it, what that's all about. Jazz at the Bookstore, Blues at the Coffee Shop from Ron Sexsmith. That's another one on Time Being, which is his new album. And, we have time for one more, which I'm really glad you did, called Reason for Our Love.
Thanks.
Which, now, you have a voice that I sometimes compare it to Chet Baker's voice. I compare it to others. You sometimes have... shall we say, you're sometimes challenged to sing your own melodies, yeah. And yet you continue to write these really challenging melodies.
I know. I sometimes feel like masochistic sometimes. I got to hit all these high notes. But I love my favorite singer is Bing Crosby. You know, I always love the way he, you know, he didn't oversing, but he, you know, he put his own touch to it. And that song is one that I could definitely hear him doing if he was still alive and kicking, you know. But I love to be in that zone. You know, I've written songs like Tomorrow in Her Eyes over the years and Foolproof and that. And, you know, maybe one day I should make my own album of my own standards or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm always hoping that a song like that, like I said in the show, like Buble might do it, or It'd Be Nice, or Diana Krall or something, you know, because they'll oftentimes pick a song that's been done, you know, like Cry Me River or Save the Last Dance, and they do a good job, but sometimes, you know, it's nice to look elsewhere, you know. There's a lot of great new songs out there.
Well, this is a new standard from Ron Sexsmith. It's called Reason for Our Love.
Caught in the middle of a daydream of you, we're lost in this riddle where they keep the answers up above. There's a reason for our love. There's a reason for our love. Thought life held nothing, now I'm holding her hand. My heart always wondering when all it wants it understands. There's a reason for our love. There's a reason for our love. It's funny how we seem so surprised, though it has been right before our eyes. All the time, all the time. Talking, time has flown, so it seems that you are sleepwalking through that very same dream. And back to us, there's a reason for our love. There's a reason for our love. Though the answer lies above, oh, there's a reason for our love.
Reason for Our Love, finishing up a set of the new music from Ron Sexsmith. You will find all those on Time Being, which is on the new Ironworks label. And Ron, thanks a lot for
coming. Oh, it's great to see you again. Thanks a lot.
Ron Sexsmith, our guest, and we'll be right back here in a moment on The World Cafe.